what we have to do is say, if wherever readers are gathering information, wherever it is that they are seeking news, we are going to understand how to meet them where they are.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and this is Future Proof. So, as many of you know, I have a keen interest in journalism, and most of my background's in marketing, so it's a special treat for me to be thinking about the future of how we market news. I thought there's no better person to talk to on this subject than Mickey Tolliver King. She's the chief marketing officer of the Washington Post, the first to take on the role of CMO at the publisher, actually. She oversees the Post subscription business and national marketing campaigns, and I wanted to talk to her about the shift in the news business model, educating consumers on the importance of news and the costs it takes to produce quality journalism, the changing role of the CMO, and the overall health of news media heading into the future. This one's one of my favorites, so let's take it away. So, Mickey, welcome to Future Proof.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I think, you know, the first thing, I know I put a little bit of this in your intro, but I'm curious from your perspective, right? You know, who are you and what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Thank you for asking and thank you for having me. I am the chief marketing officer for the Washington Post. And what that largely means is that I oversee our consumer business. So I am responsible for our digital subscriptions business growth, as well as everything related to the monetization of our content. So licensing, syndication, all of that falls under my area. In addition to all of our brand and consumer marketing is part of my role as well. So hopefully that gives you a quick overview.
So, I mean, I think that's quite a bit, obviously. And I think that it's also got to be fun slash rewarding slash challenging, given that you're operating in a, you know, situation where the news media business model has been upended over the last few decades. But really, I feel like it's accelerating the last few years, you know. So wondering if you could kind of break down for people the way you see it about the Washington Post business model these days, and what are the parts that are, you know, maybe being the most disrupted or, you know, the ones that are growing the most?
Sure. So I think the biggest shift in our business model is one that has really begun to put at the center the reader and reader revenue. And that is really something that as an organization, we are laser focused on from a business perspective. Our view is that if we are doing what is right by the reader, if we are ensuring that we are offering a product that is most accessible and most relevant for the reader, then all other, you know, everything else falls into place. And so I think this idea of being a consumer-focused brand from the standpoint of at least the business side of what we're doing has been the major shift for the Washington Post. And I think that we're going to see that for other news brands as well. I think what's interesting is that this is not this in many ways in prior years, focusing on the reader was seen as almost a dichotomy or a tension with the advertising model. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think that our most important advertising partners and those who really have made major commitments to us most recently see our commitment to readers and our commitment to our audience, our commitment to our consumer as being something that is to their advantage. They want to partner with a brand that is focused on the right reader experience, focused on doing what is best for readers and being most relevant to them in times when they most need the news.
No, I think that's really helpful. And it's interesting, obviously, like that focus on the consumer, because, you know, it seems like you guys are really doubling down on the consumer experience and the product. And I think what's so interesting is that, you know, we're talking about this in a time where digital subscriptions are so incredibly important, obviously, to the longevity of any news media property or, you know, most. And yet the internet's filled with free content, you know, more and more every single day. And albeit a lot of that is very low quality content, but, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're competing with, I don't know, 100 or 1,000 times as many potential competitors as you might have been, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So how do you kind of look at that dichotomy and survive in that type of world?
We believe that the investigative reporting that we are doing and the fact that we have reporters on every major beat covering every major topic that we as a society and as a culture are focusing on right now is ultimately unmatched for those who are looking for what they know to be news that is highly reported, where we are focusing on getting to the bottom of the story, getting to the bottom of the facts. It's very quick. It's very easy to get to a place where you can see through what is not real reporting and what is not truly the core of real journalism. And I think that if you're a reader of the Washington Post, if you're a reader of news sources that have the kind of reputation that comes with being at this for over 140 years, if you are that type of a news consumer, I think that you can see the difference. And so the reality is that, yes, there are a lot of competing places to get information. I'll call it that. I don't think there are that many competing sources of news that is seeking to get to the facts and get into the heart of every story. And I think that the most informed consumers of news know that. I really do believe in the power of the Washington Post and news brands like the Washington Post to break through what is so much of the noise and so much of the clutter that is out there. And I believe that people who really do want to be informed are looking for that. I think that the consumer is a lot smarter than we give them credit for. I believe that people know when they are getting the kind of news that has been highly reported, and they are trusting certain brands to bring that to them. And I believe that that is where the Washington brands like the Washington Post will rise to the top.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think that, you know, like at the same time, there are probably a lot of people, you know, who they grow up in a certain paradigm and they're attached to the past. And, you know, they might be worried about the future of the, you know, news media business model, you know, so folks like me, let's say, like, how do you, I guess, put folks like that at ease and say, you know, we're fine or we're adapting and here's how.
Yeah, I think that we have to be really intentional about continuing to communicate with them. I think that we have to be really intentional about continuing to communicate with our audiences and be really clear about the value proposition of news in where we are today. So it's not always easy to get that message across, but, you know, I have a team of folks who are working hard at that. There are other brands that also have a team of folks who have to begin to shift that paradigm, who are working at beginning to shift that paradigm, because we believe that paying for news and paying for quality news is as essential as paying for your entertainment subscription, your music subscription, and everything else. And why do you pay for it? Because there is a quality there. There's a level of service there that you believe that you uniquely get from that paid experience. And so that is the challenge of my team and that of similar teams at other news publishers. It is to make it clear to the consumer that, one, this is the kind of information that you cannot live without. When we are in the middle of an election year and a civil rights movement and a pandemic, this is the time when news and information, that the right news and information and getting to news and information that is focused on bringing the facts to you has never been more important. So one, making the shift that is an important, helping consumers understand that is important. And two, helping consumers understand that something that has that kind of a value for you is worth paying for.
Yeah. You know, something that, you're right, like there's a little bit of an education curve and a re-education. I feel like if you'd look to see how news media moved to a certain model, I don't know when it was, but about 20 years ago, and then just said, you know, we're going to, I don't want to say devalue the content, but to basically say, you know, we're going to give a lot of things away for free and it's going to naturally lead to a lot of recurring revenue. And we see kind of how that played out, you know? So I think it's one of those things where you just, people at the end of the day have to pay for a value. And it makes me think of when I've recommended an app to people that, you know, it's like the best app ever. And they look at it and they say, oh, it's $2.99. And I'm just saying, you know, you're holding a hot dog that you paid $3.50 for, you know, right. It's going to be gone in 20 seconds. So,
yeah. No, it's exactly right. We as a society understand that everything that is in our lives that we value, we pay for everything with no exception. And so I think that, you know, we have to continue to educate and, as you said, re-educate people that, you know, to have a newsroom of people who are at work every day bringing these stories, to have a team of engineers who are every day creating that digital experience, you know, all those people have to eat and feed their families. So I think that the idea that in order to produce this incredibly valuable product and service. There's a cost associated with that for us, and there is a value to you as a consumer. And in our sort of social contract, we have to understand that that is to be paid for. And I think that news publishers have to be committed to that notion of educating consumers that the work that we are doing is bringing the kind of value that they have to be able to pay for.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a little bit, shifting topics a bit, about the role of marketing, you know, a major media property like the Washington Post. And, you know, I know you haven't been there, let's say, all that long, but I think how have you seen the role of marketing, you know, for a news media outlet, you know, change over the last few years? How do you see, you know, your role and, you know, the importance of marketing in terms of making sure that you're bringing on the right kind of subscribers and revenue, but also, you know, reestablishing the brand as this thing that, you know, like you said, has a lot of value.
Yeah. I think the importance of marketing right now I think the best marketers are those who will understand how best to integrate in the organization in a way that marketing is not an afterthought, but you're bringing the organization along with you and understanding that everything you do has to be translated into something that we can take to the consumer. And so what that means for my team is working incredibly closely with certain folks in our newsroom who are focused on helping us to build the right packages that we can take to market. So marketing is not operating in this vacuum of let's just sit in a room by ourselves or a virtual room by ourselves and figure out the best way to send a message out to our subscribers. We are working very closely with our newsroom contacts to say, this is a story, to have them tell us, this is a story that we need to be elevating. This is a story that we need to make sure that even after it is no longer on our homepage, how are we continuing to bring that to subscribers? We're working really closely with our engineering department and our product teams. To ensure that when we are thinking through the subscriber experience, the subscriber onboarding experience, the subscriber experience with respect to engaging in our content, that we are having conversations with our product teams about what that looks like. So there is very little that marketing is doing in a vacuum. And I think that that's the big shift of the organization. That's the big shift of marketing right now, really understanding how best to translate what the organization is doing into what is that consumer outward facing message and experience that we want to promote.
Yeah. How about, it's like, let's say specifically not just marketing, but also, you know, the role of the CMO in general and what you've seen. I had an episode a while ago where I had a really smart analyst who was telling me a little bit about it, you know, like had this provocative, is this role of the CMO really, you know, is it dead? Which obviously I don't think it is. I think it's evolved over the last, you know, X number of years. And, you know, that the typical CMO might need a different skill set that they had, you know, a decade prior. And obviously, you know, CMOs have a very challenging role because I think the definition of marketing is different from one organization to another.
But it's often,
it's pretty broad. So, I mean, where do you see the role of the CMO in general going over the next few years, given all that?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great, great question. I certainly don't think the role is dead, but it has evolved in the ways that you raise. I think there are two factors that at least are a part of my role that I think make the role continuously important to the organization. One, I do think that CMOs are increasingly tied to revenue and P&L. And so I have P&L responsibility. I think that thinking of the CMO as sort of the chief commercial officer or the chief revenue officer, although that is not my title, having revenue responsibility and being tied to the performance of messaging is incredibly important. And so I think that as CMOs look to expand, look to how they can further impact the organization, I think that that is a critical thing for them to be focused on. What is their link to revenue? Whether or not they have P&L responsibility, but whether or not they actually have the responsibility as I do, or they have some way of having an influential role in being connected to P&L and to revenue in a meaningful way. The other piece of the CMO's role that I think is incredibly important in understanding how best to position the role moving forward, and how I think where I think CMOs can play an incredible role is with respect to growth. I think a CMO's role has to be always tied to what is the future thinking of the organization? What is the future thinking of how the organization remains relevant? What are the shifts in the market telling us about how we should be thinking about the business, the success of the business, you know, a year from now and 18 months from now and 24 months from now? What does that look like? I think CMOs have to be always forward thinking. And if there's no one else in the organization sort of looking at and focusing on those trends, the CMO has to be. So I think that revenue and growth have to be continuously a part of the role as CMOs are relevant.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think that also, like, kind of like you were talking a little bit about this, but having some, like, when you're thinking about growth, you have to be obviously thinking about the core product. And I think that, you know, obviously you have some input into what products and what innovations are coming down the pike, you know, for the Washington Post. So media is obviously moving at such a rapid pace. I'm wondering, how can a major media property like yours continue to disrupt and even engage in some creative cannibalization without upsetting customers who like the old distribution model and the old paradigm just fine?
Yeah, I think we have to listen to what the consumers are telling us, and we have to watch consumer behavior in a really insightful way and try to understand what it is that consumers are wanting from us at any given time. Here's what that looks like for us at the Washington Post. We spend a great deal of time learning from our subscribers and readers. And so whether it's through surveys, whether it is through informal conversations, whether it is just through our customer service calls and the team that's getting feedback from our readers at all times, we have to always have our ear to the ground about how it is that consumers are interacting with news, what it is that they want from us, what it is that they no longer want from us. And I have to tell you that, you know, most of the decisions that we're making are coming from some nugget of information that we're getting from our subscribers and our readers. We do a very in-depth survey of our readers several times a year. And we are, and our product team is a part of the readout of that research. Our newsroom is a product, is listening to what our readers are telling us. Certainly my team is. And so I can't stress enough this idea that the future of growth has to really be about understanding where it is that the market and where our consumers are leaning in and what it is that they're telling us. If they're telling us that they are getting more and more of their news from social media and from Instagram, then we need a solution for Instagram. So we don't get to say that's not where news is. We don't get to say we don't do that. What we have to do is say, if wherever readers are gathering information, wherever it is that they are seeking news, we are going to understand how to meet them where they are and anticipate what their needs will be even beyond that.
And really kind of trying to anticipate that, but also being customer-led, but being ahead of the customer in some ways and seeing where they're going, I think is incredibly useful for sure.
100%.
How about when we're talking about, you know, like there are obviously some metrics that are very hard, you know, in terms of like revenue, profitability, things like that, where you can measure the health of an organization, you know, as it's trying to embrace this uncertain future. But from an intangible standpoint, how healthy would you say the news media is at the moment? And I'm thinking, you know, in terms of fake news and all these other things, you know, that we're dealing with right now, you know, how would you rate the overall health of news media?
You know, I like to think about one of the things that I spend a great deal of time thinking about is how does the media stay focused in a moment like this, where, as you said, there are many different forces that are, you know, kind of playing against, you know, whether it's the narrative of the media that's coming out of various sources, whether it's the administration or special interest or wherever that might be, you know, how does the media stay focused and stay on task to ensure that we are staying true to our mission moving forward? I don't know that I have a rating per se. What I think is really most important is for news organizations to identify what their mission is, identify where it is that they want to and need to be focused for their audiences, and then determine how well they are staying true to what that mission is. I think that that all of us need to take stock there. So rather than, you know, how well do we think people like us? I think it's more about identifying what is it that we are here for? And how well are we performing against what we say that mission is? That's the charge, I think, for news organizations, because I think if every news organization can identify what is its true north and then really walk toward that, that's where we will all be in the healthiest place as an industry.
I would hope. I love that kind of optimism almost, you know, that I'm reading into that, which I think, you know, we can all hope for. But one thing that strikes me in terms of where media is right now is that you kind of have a few different types of organizations that don't necessarily agree on what the role of media should be in general, if that makes any sense, because everybody should follow their North Star in terms of their agreed upon mission. But it's like, you know, if you play basketball, there are certain rules that every team has to play by. But within that, you can innovate as long as you follow the core rules of basketball. So, I mean, what should the role of media be if you had to almost establish the guidelines for what news media is and what it is not, you know, across the gamut, you know, the rules that everybody should, you know, aspire to and play by, then what would those be?
And I also think, and I'm glad that you narrowed that down in the last part of your question to news media, because I think that media is so broad, and I almost there are times when I hear the term and I cringe, because I don't think that we necessarily fall into the broader category of media, but I do think that news organizations need to be committed to being truth tellers. I think that getting to the heart of what is behind a story, beyond the headline, beyond the hashtag, beyond the emotion of the moment, really understanding how to get at the heart of what the issues are, so that we are not telling people what to think, but we are giving them the facts and the tools and exposing every side of every part of a story, so that we are empowering people to think independently. So, that is how I think of the role of a news organization. It's not about proselytizing. It is about getting to a place where we not only present you with all of the facts, but we create in you the curiosity to learn more. And if we've done that, I think we've done our jobs. And what we would like to think is that what we are bringing is the full picture, the full story. We're not just giving you the angle that you want to hear, but the full story that allows you to be able to make the right decisions about where you're going to activate, how you're going to vote, how you're going to move within your community. That is, you know, equipping you with that level of knowledge is what I believe is the role of the news media.
And I think that that's something that, you know, a whole lot of things can change and be disrupted. But I think that hopefully people will adhere to that, the basic principles that you laid out, because I think those are, you know, really fair rules of engagement. And at some point, you know, if the news changes too much, it stops becoming the news, really. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But I think people will get a lot out of this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again, Mickey, for making the time. It does give me a little bit of hope in the future of news media, that we've got such smart people working on the marketing side to be able to connect value and work on acquisition and retention, because I do think that, you know, we need a very healthy news media to survive, frankly. If you like what you just heard and this is your first time here, be sure to subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, the choice is yours. And if you're a longtime listener, please remember to rate and review Future Proof, as that's the number one way we get this show in front of people just like you. Special thanks this week to associate producers Jason Stack and V. Cortuccio. Once again, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and you've been listening to Future Proof.